blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 28, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord my guide. 1, 3, 4, and 5 of Psalter 28.
Thank you. We wish to read from God's holy and precious word out of the first book of Corinthians from chapter 15. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith, all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If, after the manner of men, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, and may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who art eternal from everlasting to everlasting. And this, what we have heard in these moments, applies to each and every one of us. Though our thoughts by nature have no desire to consider these matters, but thou bringest us with our children in thy house of prayer that we might hear the truth, and that we also may be given to receive that truth in our hearts. Lord, thou knowest thy servant what he did say, and that we are strangers and pilgrims here upon this earth. And that was what was confessed by thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And indeed, their life was as thy servant did say, a vapor that appeared for a little time and then it vanished away. And so our life also will be the same, because we are also the offspring of Adam, and we have sin upon our account, and we also have that curse laying upon us because of our iniquities, that we must surely die. Oh Lord, we are so impressionless. We are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That truth, and that thou sayest that a man must go out of this life, and that we have here no continuing city. O Lord, we do not seek one to come because we do not believe it. We need to be born again, and we need a new heart, Lord, and we need Thy Spirit to make us alive from the dead, dead in sins and in trespasses, following after all that the natural, carnal, and earthly, and sensual, and devilish heart and does seek after in all of our ignorance and in all of our foolishness and in all of our spiritual deadness. Oh, come, Lord, and say unto us, thus far and no further, even in this hour in Thy house of prayer, and where Thou art pleased to convert Thy people and to begin in them that new life that will never die. O Lord, teach us, each and every one who are otherwise unteachable, unless Thou givest us new hearts of flesh and takest away the stony hearts out of our flesh. O Lord, wilt Thou draw us, for we are drawn after everything that our sinful heart desires, and there is so much of it in this world. It needs all to be shown to us to be vanity and vexation of spirit. Thou alone art able, O Lord, to grant this unto us. O grant it in Thy mercy, by Thy power, for we are powerless. Thou knowest that we cannot raise ourselves from the dead, or that it might not be unto us an excuse, but that our cry might go up to the Lord of Sabaoth. Remember Thou us then in Thy house in this hour, and when we are gathered together under Thy eye, as Thou sittest upon Thy throne of glory, reigning over all things until they are all put under Thy feet, and Thou wilt give it all unto Thy Father. O Lord, that Thou may look upon us from Thy high and holy place, and grant us to know and to feel and experience that Thou art wast dead, but that Thou dost live, and that Thou seest and that Thou knowest also where we are and where our children are, that our souls may be made alive, that our souls may be fed, that they may be nourished, that they may be instructed, and that we may be reproved for our foolishness and for our waywardness, and that we may be brought into the blessed place of true contrition and true submission to all the ways wherein that Thou dost lead us. Remember those that mourn. O Lord, we all do await the day when we also must be laid in the grave, and we await the day when we must lay our loved ones in the grave, and our loved ones there await the day that they will also arise from the dead. O Lord, it is the hope of Thy church, but it will be an awful day, and when we must die without God in this world, O Lord, without hope in this world, we beseech Thee, give us understanding hearts this day, and care for all those that carry that burden of loss and missing every day over this world, lost husbands, wives, children. O Lord, Thou knowest the griefs and the sorrows. Remember those that need surgeries, those that are under the care of doctors and physicians. Wilt Thou supply for them also in the week that is to come, and give Thy sparing mercies and Thy healing wings to be spread over each and every one of them, that Thou may remember the daughter of the widow in our midst, O Lord. Thou knowest also the condition of her life. Oh, that Thou would spare her if it could please Thee. But Lord, then it looks to man otherwise. Our Lord, look upon the need of her soul in Thy mercy, and remember all that are about her and that love her, and that thou would supply and undergird in all of these very difficult circumstances. And wilt thou look upon all those that have special needs and cares of the mind, cares and needs of the body, those that have addictions. Thou knowest the struggles that they can have in their life. O Lord, we beseech thee for them, for thou sayest, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But we have no power over the devil. O Lord, that thou may help them, and that thou may be on their right and on their left, and that thou may give them a cry unto heaven, and that they might know thy power, and that it is more power than all of hell. O Lord, that thou may deliver them also from these trials and tribulations, which can be so burning in their hearts. O that thou may give them a desire therefore, and that it in their life, that it may become a true spiritual warfare, and that is born of God, and that thou may bring them into thy militant church, that sin may become a true burden unto them. Lord, look upon all of us. Oh, we are all addicted to sin. We do not want to admit it. Our Lord, that thou would open our eyes for it and show it unto us, and give us to abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before thee. And oh, do show unto us the blessedness and the suitability of thy dear and precious and beloved Son, Christ Jesus. He is in thine eyes so beloved. Thou callest him so in thy holy word, and revealest him so in the life of thy children. He has no form or comeliness in our eyes by nature. Make us to see what we are, and show him unto us, and he shall become altogether lovely. Oh, that it might be so in thy house, also in this afternoon hour. Lord, wilt thou look upon us in the preaching, look upon us in the hearing. There is so much, and that is so often coming in between. Oh, that thou may show thyself feelingly and believingly, that we might know thy presence, and that thou thyself may grant us those gifts and those benefits that thou hast purchased for thy church, and now from the Father's right hand dost distribute through thy Holy Spirit, that it might give true faith in our hearts, that we might receive them as a poor and as a miserable, as a helpless sinner, or only to magnify and to glorify the name of the Most High God. Oh, that thou might increase, and that we might decrease, and that we may be prepared more and more to enter into that place where thou shalt be all and all and everything, and we shall be less and less and nothing. Help us then, Lord, in this afternoon hour, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 32, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. With steadfast courage I design no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine, and walk with purpose true. And what follows 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 32. Beloved congregation, we have heard in this chapter what Paul writes, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And why is that? It is because of the tribulation, and that is the portion of God's people. There is no people in the whole world and that are persecuted as the Christian people, that is, in general. That was in the time of the Apostle Paul, and it remains so also today. That is, according to the word of Christ himself, and as we have heard in this morning, that in the world ye shall have tribulation. That is, in a natural way. That is, in a special way, in a spiritual way. We may be and have a privilege still in our time and country to be somewhat sheltered. But there are many that are not sheltered from this in the world at all. I understand that there are around 380 million Christians that are being persecuted in the world in which you and I are living. The Apostle Paul says we are saved by hope. You will say, young people, but are we not saved by faith? Yes, that is right. What is now the difference? Faith has to do with things present, but hope has to do with things that are future, that are after this life. The Apostle Paul says that we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Thus, we have the groaning of that afflicted church here below that is waiting for the redemption, waiting for the deliverance from that those trials and persecutions that they are called to endure here below. There are just two ways, boys and girls, that are laid out in the Bible. That is a broad way and a narrow way. And what is that broad way? Well, that broad way is the enjoyment of all of the pleasures, or so-called pleasures, that are found in this world. And that narrow way, that is just the opposite. That is the despising of those so-called pleasures, and with a desire and a looking and a hoping for those things which are above, those things which are eternal. Thus, last Lord's Day, we have heard about the church and the benefits that are given to that church in this life. Thus, we heard about the communion of saints, and we heard about the forgiveness of sins. And now our fathers say that is not all. That is actually, those precious things are actually just the beginning. And that is now what we wish to consider in this afternoon out of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 22. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 22, which concerns faith, concerning the church's benefits after this life. First, the resurrection of the body, and second, life everlasting. Thus, question and answer 57, what comfort doth the resurrection of the body afford thee? answer that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this, my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ, that is, the resurrection of the body. Then question and answer 58 of Life Everlasting. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Answer, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, which eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. Faith concerning the church's benefits after this life, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. What comfort that the resurrection of the body afford thee. There are, congregation, many people who do not believe in the resurrection of the body. That is the work of the devil. And what is the devil always trying to do? That is, with the errors that he is bringing into the church of God, he is always trying to take away the comfort that God is giving unto the afflicted and the tried, the poor people of God. And this idea, even in and of itself, that there is no resurrection of the body, is in itself also persecution. It is persecution against those who are walking upon that narrow way unto life, that is, to tempt them, to seduce them, to discourage them, that they would leave that way of life, and that they may walk upon that broad way, and that they would say, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Does that also sometimes come into your heart, young people? That temptation, that whispering, as we read here, Paul says, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? They come in your mind? Maybe you don't say it. You say, how is that possible? That seems to me like it is something that is impossible. There is a dead man, a dead woman, and have that person raised up again from death. How now does that happen? Well, that is nothing new. No, the Apostle Paul says that this was taking place also in his own time. And now Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And how did he answer? He says, thou fool. What is a fool? A fool is a person who has lost his mind. A person who doesn't have any intelligence. A person who does not have any sense. And thus this is what God is calling that suggestion, the person, as the devil himself, and the persons over whom the devil now takes possession, that they may agree with him, God calls them a fool. Because we think that we are so intelligent. And then when we cannot understand how something can happen, is beyond our understanding, then we say, I don't think it can be at all. What is that? That is just to make a God of ourself. That if I cannot understand it, then it is not possible that thing is true. Thou fool, the Lord says. What does he say? He says, thou art irrational. He says, there is nothing irrational about the resurrection of the body, the resurrection of the dead. And then our fathers go on to make rational arguments to defend this resurrection of the dead, that not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ, its head. Thus is not immediately speaking about the body, but is speaking first about the soul. It is declaring here and defending what we call the immortality of the soul, that the soul never dies. The Sadducees only accepted the first five books of Moses, and they said that it is never explicitly taught anywhere in the first five books of Moses that the soul is immortal and that there is a resurrection of the dead. And therefore, the Sadducees said that there was none. The Epicureans in the time of Paul, they said that the soul was not just spirit, but it was material. Thus, the soul also died with the body. Some of the Anabaptists said that the soul in death goes to sleep. But what does the Lord Jesus say? The great prophet, he spoke about Lazarus. And he says that Lazarus was carried and he was brought into the bosom of that rich man. We know that the Lord Jesus himself has cried out on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So did he say also to the thief? He says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. To the disciples, the Lord Jesus says, fear not them that kill the body and are not able to kill the soul. Why? Because that soul is unslayable. Because that soul is immortal. Because the soul lives forever. What is the soul then? You know that well by now, I think. Children, young people, you say we have a mind that thinks, and we have affections that love, and we have a will that makes the choices about what we think is good. And thus that soul, when the body dies, remains alive. So what does that mean? That means that your reasoning, your thinking, remains. That never dies. That means your affections, your love, that also never dies. That you will have a consciousness even when your body dies. That means also your judgments, what you consider to be the good or the bad, the will that is also remaining alive. We read about the martyrs, that is in the book of Revelation, they were beheaded, and we read that they live. That they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So how can, and that 1,000 years, that is now speaking about the New Testament time, that is the last time, that is the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And they are waiting for the resurrection of their bodies, but they lived and they reigned. They cannot reign and they cannot live without their soul. Thus you say, may be, young people, but science that says now, yeah, when is a person dead? Then they can see if there are waves of the brain. So that means all the thinking is stopping. And that is actually what makes us, that is how we know that a person is actually dead. But the brain, that is actually only an instrument for the mind that is thinking. Just as the sun is only an instrument for the light. What was made first, children? The light or the sun? I say one was made on the first day and the other was made on the fourth day. Not the sun first, but the light first. So, is the light dependent on the sun? No. The sun was just made a ruler, and the moon made a ruler of the light just for a little time while the earth is lasting, and the light is going to outlast the sun. That is, we read in a city that has no need of the sun, and so that mind, that thinking, part of the soul of a man, is going to outlast his body when it is here on in the world, and that mind is not dependent, although that the brain is, as we would say, perhaps it is made the ruler of it, while that we are alive still. That mind is going to outlast, the soul is going to live when our body is dying. That is incomprehensible, isn't it? But remember that we are not God. We are but man. And we have a finite, a limited understanding that was already before the fall. And after the fall, we have also rebellion in our hearts against the truth of God. Where is that soul residing when the body dies? The Roman Catholic Church says that it is residing in purgatory. There it needs to be purged of venial sins that are not mortal. And there it needs to be cleansed. If that is true, then the sacrifice of Christ and the sanctification of Christ for his church is of no avail. If that is true, then he is no complete savior. Ah, it is not true. Thanks be to God. Say that church of God. And therefore, Paul, he says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, he says, which is far better. And he did not look up against a purging in purgatory. No, he says that he is willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That not only my soul after this life shall be immediately taken up to Christ its head, but also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Christ says, the hour is coming and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And then everyone in that is laying, we read, in the grave is going to hear his voice. And then they are going to come forth, we read, from those graves, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The Apostle Paul said to King Agrippa, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible to you that Christ should raise the dead?" Why? He says, "Is that now something that is unreasonable? Has God more power? Has God power sufficient, let me say, power sufficient to create man? And not power sufficient to raise him up again. Power enough to make him, not sufficient power to restore unto him his life." That is, congregation, irrational. That is why the Lord says, "Thou fool." Did Christ purchase the soul of his church? And did he not purchase the body of his church? If the wages of sin is death, and sin, the cause, has been taken away, must not death, as the consequence, also be taken away? Is that not just? Is not Christ a perfect Savior to deliver his church? And the wicked, is it not just, what do you think, young people? Is it not just for God to punish the body as well as the soul when in this life these hands and these feet, they have been united with this heart, walking in the ways of sin and despising the Lord and his commandments? Is it not right? Is it not just that the Lord would take that whole man and that he would punish him altogether? Will now the salvation of the church of God be less than their creation? God making them a soul and a body, but only restoring unto them their soul? Do we not read that Christ is the head of his church? Shall the head be risen, and shall the body continue ever to lay in the grave? Is he not declared in God's word, "The first fruits of them that slept is his kingdom"? Not an everlasting kingdom. If there is no resurrection, how can his kingdom be everlasting? Is he not also unchangeable? Who has promised? Will that promise then be taken away? That is why Job, he says that "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." Why? He was accused. He was falsely accused. He had his own sin. But the Lord will come as the judge of everyone, and who knows the heart of everyone. But also that this my body, being raised by the power of Christ, shall be reunited with my soul and made like unto the glorious body of Christ. Not another body, not a new body, not a new creation, no, but this same body that is, despite unbelief's cavilling at having to gather all of the substance of that body, if it is scattered in the ocean or wherever that it may be, despite all of this unbelief, it is going to take place. Job says, though after my skin worms destroy this body, he says, in my flesh I shall see God. We read that here. Paul says, this mortal must put on immortality, shall be made like unto the glorious body of Christ that was in his resurrection. This corruption, Paul says here, must put on incorruption. Sin is destroyed. And when sin is destroyed, all the consequences of sin are destroyed. That means death is destroyed. That means sickness is destroyed. That means weakness is destroyed. That means pain is destroyed. And everything that is a consequence of our sin, that is put away. It is sown a natural body. It is raised, Paul says, a spiritual body. That it is a body that is now ruled, O people of the Lord. It is now ruled by the Spirit of God. Then there is nothing to come in between that anymore. Christ says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, he hath eternal life. And he says that I will raise him up in that last day. When is that last day? There are people in the world who try to prophesy when that last day is. But it is unbiblical because the Bible says that it is not known by any man. And so, young people, never follow, never listen to people who try to say they know when that day is coming. There is one thing we may do. Then we may place our Bible next to all the news, and we see what is happening in the world and what the Lord Jesus has said is going to come to pass in the end of the world, and then we may see and that we may believe that that day is coming closer and closer, because the Lord is going to permit sin to such a point in the world, and then the Lord is going to come to deliver his church. It is God, the Father, who is going to raise his people from the dead. We heard he is going to do that through his Son. And that Son is he who is the judge of the world. He is the redeemer of his church. He is coming for his church. And the Son, he is working through that Holy Spirit. The Son has taken upon himself the flesh of his church, and he therefore has an interest, we would say a vested interest, that is that flesh that is not going to remain in that grave. There we have the consolation of that church. And now why? What is the basis upon which the dead are going to be raised? That is not just one thing, because we have in the first place the wicked, and the wicked need to be raised. That is in order to be judged, that everyone may receive the things that he has done in his body. That is what we read. Congregation, will that not be an awful thing? As we have sat so many years, maybe, in that house of God, and we've gone away from the house of God, and every time we have said, the Lord must do it. The Lord must do it. And that is so biblical. It is so biblical. But where is the cry in our heart for the Lord to do it? You know, we read in God's Word, when that resurrection takes place, that there are going to be people who are crying to the mountains to fall on us, and for the hills to cover us and to hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Is that crying going out from us today? Then we are not just going to say, then in that time the Lord has to do it. No. No, then there is going to be a need, then we're going to feel that need. Wilt thou cry today unto the Lord? And the righteous, they are raised just to be judged for that reason? No. You say they are raised because they need to be punished for their sin? No. They are raised for, on account, on behalf of their righteousness? They have none. They have none, just like everyone else. There is one reason that they are raised, and that is because they have been purchased. And that body has been purchased as well as their soul. And thus, they belong to Him who is waiting for that day, as He said to His Father, that I will, that they whom Thou hast given Me would be with Me where I am. And thus that is now the basis, that is now the reason, and that people are going to be raised from the dead. But let us sing a moment from 431, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Open, saith the Lord, why thy mouth believing this my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. 4, 5, and 6 of 431. Question and answer 58. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? That since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, which eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. Maybe, children, young people, you say, I have been waiting for this. I would like to hear about this. Because now we are going to hear about what it is like in heaven. That is, as our fathers say, life everlasting. If you read the Pilgrim's Progress, then you will see that Pliable also wanted to hear about this. That is the first thing that he began to ask Christian about. What was it going to be like in that place where they are going to come? But that man could not come beyond the very first discouragements that that church has to endure. Christian was not able to say very much about this, because so much of this is hidden from us. And if you will want to know it, I will tell you what you must do. You must enter upon the narrow way. You must walk upon that way that goes through the straight gate. Because it is at the end of that way that you are certainly going to find out what this life everlasting is. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And still the Bible does say some things about it. What does the Bible call it? It calls it life. Life everlasting, that is over against death, that is over against eternal death. So what is life? Well, in us humans, that means that we have a soul still that is within our body. That is life. But, of course, the reprobate, when they will be resurrected from the dead, they are also going to have a soul that will be in their body. So life everlasting cannot consist of just the soul entering into the body. There has to be more than that. And what is it? Well, that is that that created being that is man will be restored to the purpose, to the end for which God has made him. Thus, if a man is lacking that purpose for which God has made him, he is said, the Bible says, he is dead. Thus we read, the woman who liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. That she is just living in this world and she is not serving the end for which God has made her. Oh, girls, are you dead or alive? According to the Bible. Do you just want to live in pleasure in this world? Then the Bible says you are not alive. It says that you are dead while that you are living. Is that not an awful thing? And thus, our fathers speak here about the restoration of that end, the restoration of the purpose that God has created man and that God has redeemed man. And it is called, that is called in the Word of God, life. That is what life is. And now what is that purpose? What do our fathers say? They say, to praise God. What do you think of that? When you wake up in the morning, and then you are thinking, what am I going to do today? And we all have a purpose. We're going to do this, the one. And how many of those purposes that we have in our life are now according to that purpose that God has made us? To praise God. Ah, you say, how few, if any. It is just the opposite, isn't it? Isn't it so? How many of our purposes deep down is actually for the praise and for the honor and for the glory of ourselves? That was now the first temptation under which Adam fell. That is to rob God of his due praise. And that is now what is living as a purpose within the heart of each and every one of us by nature. What is now the use, congregation, of such an highly sophisticated, created being that misses his purpose? He is really nothing more than a dignified wretch, is what he is. You ever feel that? That miserable and that wretched creature made in that image of God, with still those sparks in an outward way of that beautiful and that blessed creation, and then the purpose completely turned upside down. They make robots today, young people. They call them humanoid robots. They look like a human being. And if they would now turn and rebel, well, what would we do with them? You say, would we destroy them immediately? And now what does the Lord say? I will not destroy him, no. But I am going to restore him. I am going to make him from dead unto alive. Do you live? This life everlasting, that does not begin in heaven, that is a life that begins here on the earth. And no man, boys and girls, goes to heaven without it. And now the church, they are feeling what? They feel so much death. Death in themselves. How do they feel it? Ah, they know what life is. That life has a beginning. And because they know the beginning of that life, they know what that life is. And now our fathers say that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal life. Oh, that life that is experienced to be so good. That life is experienced to be so sweet. That life is experienced to be so precious. But they say, oh, if I have life, I have so little of this life. And then sometimes they are just waiting for this change which is promised unto them. Ah, yes, I have a husband, I have a wife, I love, and my children, my parents, oh, I don't want to leave them, and my grandchildren, and yet on the other side, then a man can become so tired of himself that he is actually looking forward, that he may depart out of this world where there is just this little beginning, and now to receive that promise, the promise of the Lord. What do our fathers say? That since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy after this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation. That is now what that church is not able to fathom. That is why Paul is quoting, our fathers are quoting Paul, who is quoting Isaiah. That is, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. When that praise, you know what that is? A little bit. When that praise that is living within a person's heart, then you know what he says? He says, just leave me here. Just leave me here. You ever say that? When you are sitting in the house of God, you say, just leave me here. I do not want to leave this place, and I do not want to be disturbed, because if I go home, it's all going to go away. Oh, when he is present, feelingly, believingly, his majesty, his grace, and his spirit, then they want to do one thing. Then they want to praise God forever. Then they're just like Mephibosheth when he's laying on the floor. And then he says, oh, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? O congregation, that place on the ground, there is nothing more precious. You cannot find this in the whole world. And why? Why is that so precious? Well, not that a man can explain it all, no. But that body and that soul was made for a purpose. And when the Lord is restoring and giving them to experience just for a moment what that body and that soul was made by him to do, then they feel something, then they experience something. And what is that? Ah, that things are right again. That is such a blessed place for that soul of a man. Then he feels, then he experiences that the Lord himself is putting it in the right place. But you know, Solomon says that my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. He comes leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. And he is looking through the windows, and he is showing himself. And then he says, my beloved has withdrawn himself, and he is gone. He is gone. Thus it is just moments that they may experience just a little bit of this joy and of this rightness when the Lord is coming by his Spirit. And then they are longing for what? Ah, that he would come again. And that they could know this again, what it is to be restored. And that is now the promise of the Lord to his people, who live in a missing or even a missing of a missing. It's all such a mystery. But you know what David says? He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. That is the reality. Is it your reality? is that also a burden to you? Life everlasting. I shall inherit perfect salvation to praise God therein forever. That is a perfection of that praise that has begun already by moments in this world. That is to have the image of God that he has created us in, restored to our soul. That is to answer to him again, as we were made to answer to him as his redeemed creature, forever delivered from wandering, from grieving him, from provoking him, and forever and ever to made to magnify and to praise his holy name without myself coming in between. That will be congregation and unspeakable joy that is only experienced by beginning small moments in this life when that church is fully restored to that purpose, to that end for which God has made them, and then it to be without end. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, your joy no man taketh from you, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. No man. Forever and forever. John, in the book of Revelation, he says that city that has no need of the sun to shine in it, for the glory of God, and the glory of God does lighten it. And he says, the Lamb is the light thereof. Young people, you know what John also says? He says, I saw no temple therein. He says, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. That means that it is nothing but temple. Do you know what that means? Are you waiting to go home? Do you know what that means? It means that that temple, they will never go out of that temple. You see what that is? That will be the answer to the prayer of that people who experience that by moments, little moments here below. Leave me here. And let this go on, let it go on. And then it will be in perfection there. And then that desire of their soul, that is going to be forever fulfilled. And God is going to wipe away all tears from their faces, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because all of those former things are passed away. O congregation, are we going to be recipient now of this life everlasting? You say, can a man know that? What do you think, young people? Can we know that? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. What do our fathers say? Since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. We can know that. And we must know that. All do you now seek to know this? Because the Lord says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And when these things may be known by moments, then that church rightly is going back to these testimonies. And since now the Lord gives this only unto his people, this is now giving them that hope wherein they are looking to the future, that is to receive the things which they have not yet here below. the congregation over against that eternal life that is only, we read in God's word, eternal death. What a contrast. And then the Lord warns. He warns in the parable of that rich man and Lazarus. And then he says of that rich man that he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. Oh, congregation, what is that now going to be? Because he was denied a single drop of water, one drop of water. And he says, this is Christ. You're speaking about this. He says, I am tormented in this flame. The Lord Jesus says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when we see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in that kingdom of God. And you yourself, he says, thrust out. O congregation, Paul says God limits a certain day. A certain day, he says. When is that today? As it is said, after so long a time, then he limits a certain day. He says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Seek the Lord. While he may be found, call ye upon him while he is yet near. That is, today, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us, draw us, make us alive, bring it in our hearts. Lord, we are wretched and we are miserable and we are poor and we are helpless. We are rebellious. Oh, we need to be born again. And it is a short vapor that is quickly passing. O Lord, bind it upon our hearts, that of young and old, that we might seek thee yet while it is called today, and while thou sayest and declarest unto us that there is no sinner too great to be received by thee, and that thou art so willing to give it so freely by free and sovereign grace. Oh, give to us a need then, a cry then, make it urgent in our hearts. Draw us, Lord. We will run after thee and build thy kingdom. Bring us and our children into it, that we may praise thy name forever and ever, and that in the glory, that the glory of the King may be by the multitude of subjects, and that we and our loved ones may be included therein. Lord, thou knowest how undeserving that we are. Oh, do forgive and take away our many, many sins. Look upon us in the rest of this day. Bring us safely home and give us to search thy holy word and all that is based thereon with all our heart, with all our might, and with all our strength, that it may not be unprofitable, that thy word has been brought once again, and that it may not testify against us on that great day of days. Do remember the children and the teachers who hope to gather, beginning in this week once again. Lord, be thou in the midst of them, and those that are at home also in their studies. Watch over each and every one and give instruction from above. Remember our theological school also. Thou hast cared and begun it in the week gone by. Be on their right and on their left and give that the day may come when they also may be given to bring thy word in the midst of our congregations. Forgive all that was amiss this hour. Bless it with thy blessings from above, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422 stanzas 5 and 6. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who, when they hear thy voice, in happiness abound. In what follows, 5 and 6 of Psalter 422. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.